The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Now, I don't...
I've got so many
recording
thoughts
in progress.
I am just starting the show right now. Normally we would talk for a few minutes about what we're going to talk about, but we're just going to jump into it because the state of Alabama legislators had advanced legislation to define what makes a man a man and what makes a woman based on reproductive anatomy. And this is something that I actually threw at Fox 6 a couple weeks ago. I said, this will be really funny. And they're like, there's no way in hell we're doing this on television. And I said, okay, so I got just the guy. His name's Skip Kiefer. He will love this for Tony Curry Radio.
Absolutely.
So I just thought it was hilarious. And obviously there's been some legislators that have come out. Alabama soon could legally define what makes someone a man or a woman. We feel it needs to be defined because not everyone has the same version of the same meaning anymore. Just kind of scary. Representative Susan DeBose, who sponsored HB 111 to define sex terms in what she says is the time-honored traditional way. Bills in both the state and the House Senate seek to define the terms male, female, boy, and girl under state law and allow state and local public entities to create single-sex spaces based on those definitions. The bill says there are only two sexes, and that men and women are equal but not physically the same. Obviously, there's a lot of people in and around this state and this country that are saying that this is going to have some type of bias towards the LGBTQ community and transgender and folks who obviously define themselves as not a man or a woman, but as a they or something in the middle. So far, what they've gotten is a male produces sperm and a female body produces ova or female reproduction cells at some point in life, according to the bill.
Well, that's pretty definitive.
It's all yours, my friend.
All I can say, Tony, is what I started to say to you when you said we got to start the show. Thank God it's in the capable hands of the Alabama legislature. How reassuring.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I saw this and I thought, you know, okay, well, the person who pays the bill is the man. I mean, let's dumb this down a little bit. The person who holds the door open is the man. So I want you to think about some ideas, what you think defines what a man is. It could be in Alabama or anywhere else. And what defines what a woman is or does.
Well, I'll start by, and this is the weirdest thing. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but yeah, at least once a week, and sometimes more than that, people actually stop me and say, has anybody ever told you, that you look like Jack Nicholson? And Tony, I look in the mirror, I look at pictures of myself, I don't see Jack Nicholson and Kip Kiefer, but some people swear that Jack Nicholson and I.
No, you do.
And that's so weird.
You do. I get that. I get Julian Lennon and I get Ty Pennington. But yeah, you definitely.
Interesting.
You definitely have. If you slick the hair back and stuck your face through a door and said, here's Johnny, you could pull it off.
Well, I bring that up because I have to. One of my favorite lines of all time was uttered by Jack Nicholson in the great movie As Good As It Gets. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite, when he's walking out of his publisher's office and there's this young, like 20-something year old girl as the receptionist, and she's looking at him with these big wide eyes, and he's like sees that she's staring at him, and you can see the look at like on his face, like, oh no, she's gonna talk to me. And she says, I just have to ask, how do you write women so well? And Jack Nicholson classically replies, I think of a man and I take away reason and accountability. So I don't know if the legislature's considered that, but there you go.
Oh, I love that. Now, you know, this is one of those things where, we are equal. We need to stop putting this crap where one's more powerful over the other. And certainly we can make the argument that men are making 37 cents per hour more than women are. And that's not right. And I get all that. I understand that. And I understand you have a fight and you should fight. And us men are fighting for you. We are equal. We do things differently. We are equal in the fact that we both have brains and that we can both make major decisions and we can decide things for ourselves and we can be self-sufficient and we can take care of our children and our families and take care of each other. But we aren't physically the same. And this is where this part of this bill is coming out. Now, I think it's really funny. These parents that are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have my daughter in a locker room with a 16-year-old man who says he's a woman and, you know, she's going to get raped and she's going to be scrutinized. And that, and I'm like, I have not heard that. I have not seen that story. I had never heard of that story happening. I think we're getting way too far ahead of ourselves in that arena. Do I think that we're giving and lending in to the LGBT community a little too far with this transgender bit? Absolutely, because it's such a small number. It's such a small number. We know that the loudest people are usually the smallest people, and the smallest number of people are usually the loudest. And we have changed more shit in the last 10 or 15 years for LGBTQ and for transgender and for gay rights. And you live your life, baby. It's not the way I want to live my life.
Knock yourself out.
Religiously speaking, it doesn't. I was all about the don't ask, don't tell. I don't care. Yeah. Don't tell me. Did you realize that based on the numbers, there are 10 gay football players on Alabama's football team right now? There's 10 gay football players on the football team right now. I don't care. I don't care if you're gay. Play your position. Play your position.
Do your job,
and let's win some football games. I can give a damn my favorite singer's gay. I don't care. I didn't know that the lead singer Judas Priest was gay until 3 years ago. People were like, what are you, crazy? I don't know what. I don't care. Just sing.
And I bet you, Tony, finding that out took them immediately off of your rotation on your radio station.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, seriously, did I know Liberace was gay? Yeah, maybe. Elton John, not so much. I don't care. He's a great singer. I love him. I love him, and I love what he does. And it's for the same reason why when I go see the Dixie Chicks, which we can't call the Dixie Chicks, and we can't call them Dixie, we call them the Chicks, you know, or Toby Keith, who just passed away and caught all kinds of hell because the way he felt about the LGBTQ community, you go out there and listen, just sing your songs. Just play your songs. I don't want to hear your politics. You don't have to cross over for me. If you feel like that's your need, that's fine. Let me do and do a little dissertation 10 or 15 minutes after the show saying, would you like to stick around and know how I feel about the political parties tonight? Stick around at 11:15. I'll be meeting you here in the back of the room. That's fine. But don't do it during my 3 hours of my show. I don't want to hear about it. So if we have to physically figure out what makes a man and a woman, I just thought it was kind of funny because there are some things that to me are just, that are irrefutable, and that should never be done. The man always pays.
That's right.
The man always
pays. In more ways than just money.
Yeah. I don't hear a woman complaining about this one because obviously it has something to do with money. But for me, a man pays. Now, and I have been asked out, and I've had a woman ask me on a date, And I wasn't the one where waited for her to pick up the tab. I don't give a squat if she asked me out. I'm paying the tab. Pay the tab. I don't care whether she asked me or whether I ask her or someone sets us up with a blind date. If there's a man and a woman sitting at a table, the man damn well better pick up that tab.
And I agree.
You see those commercials, that's the extra gum commercial where the waitress comes out. She said, will this be together or separate? And the camera pans to the guy and it says, John must make the decision of the evening. And they know what the decision is. The decision is you damn well better say together or else you're not getting any ass tonight. And of course he says together. And it says, John made the question just disappear. And of course, she's got the sparkle in her eye and he knows he's going to get some of that wuss tonight. I mean, it's like men always pay. Men always pay. And we're happy to do that. And any guy who says, well, she asked me out, she should have paid. Or because we really don't know, or because we met on match.com, we should go Dutch. Let me tell you something, ladies. You go out with a guy who wants to pay Dutch, he's a flipping loser. He's a wuss. Get away from his ass right now. He's not a man's man.
Are making a speech that could be word for word from Kip Kiefer at any podium, because I emphatically agree with you, Tony. Going Dutch. I mean, where does that come from? Where does that phrase come from anyway?
What is that? What is that?
Are we?
Hell, I'll pay for women I don't know. I've sat at a table.
Me too.
I've sat at a table with three or four other women, and I was I was at Hoover High School about 6-7 years ago for a career day, and they brought me in to talk to a bunch of juniors and seniors. And I'm sitting there in the school room, in the lunchroom, and my phone rings, and I pick it up, and someone says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm out having lunch with five or six Hoover High School girls." And they're like, "The teachers?" I'm like, "No, I'm hanging out." And I sat down in the cafeteria because I was on the way out, and they wanted to ask me some more questions about radio. And so I bought them lunch, and I'm sitting here, and I'm talking to them about radio. And the dude says, "You bought them lunch?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Dude, you just bought a 15-year-old lunch?" And I said, "I'm the man.
You pervert."
And I told my friends I bought five or six Hoover High School cheerleaders lunch. They thought I was a creep. I'm like, "No, that's what the man does." I didn't know who they were.
I probably would have given each of them $100 and say, "Have a good weekend." It's crazy when you get into the monetary part of this, but I couldn't agree with you more. The man pays. That's the way it goes.
The man always proposes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You want to propose to me? That's fine. It's not going to ruin it. My ex actually asked me to marry her three different times. She hates when I say that, but we're not married anymore, so I can bring it up.
Well, yeah.
She hates that because she said it makes me look weak. And I said, it wasn't a weak. It was a beautiful thing. It just shows me how much you loved me. And I appreciate it. And quite frankly, you did me a favor, because if you're asking me to marry me, then I know that I asked you, you're going to say yes. So, I don't have to worry about the number one thing that men hate the most in life. And that is the word rejection. We hate rejection. Ugh. Guys hate getting rejected. Ugh. That's why you see beautiful women who don't date men for years on end, because guys are too dumb to ask them out because they know they're going to get rejected. They're not. Chances are, you ask any woman out, she'll say yes just to go out with a guy, period. Even the best look with. That's why guys always out kick their coverage. And we have a lot more better looking women out there than we have good looking guys. So you ladies, you're up against it anyway. Sorry. There's way more good looking girls out there than good looking guys. Guys are just goofy looking. You got two good looking guys right here. We're available, by the way.
So
when it comes to proposing, the man always does the questioning. He's always the one that says, "Will you marry me?" That's just one of the things. Now she can ask, but he's not going to answer that question. And that's just my thing. That's another thing that defines a man. The man is the one who proposes.
Well, and all this, and now I'm going to be treading into the minefield. So
I love it. Go,
get your protective. Go. Get your protective gear engaged.
Go.
One of the things that I really am annoyed with, and I did mention this in my book, "What Does George Clooney Have That I Ain't Got?" on sale now on Amazon. Yes. and all of your local book dealers. I talk about in that book the whole equality thing, and we're all on the same page, and everything is measured now by women having the same opportunities as men, and I'm good with all that. But if we're on the same plane, if we're on equal footing, why, Tony, when the initiation of physical contact first comes up in a relationship, why is this independent, defiant, bold new generation of women, why are they still wanting to be, and this is the phrase that nobody can answer me, women still want to be taken? And that is so outside my comfort zone and my personality. I don't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. And I don't, and I don't have the signals unless it's blatantly obvious. I don't like that the impetus is on the man to initiate that initial contact when women still control the process. It's very, very uncomfortable. And that's, thank God for alcohol, because that's the only thing that makes that dreadful process easier. But I've always had a problem with that. When you look at the popularity of 50 Shades of Grey, every woman in the country was reading that like it was just some great piece of literature, but it was about some older guy who was, you know, physically dominating some younger woman, mm-hmm. and all these women like identified with it. Yep. I mean, Tony, it's just, it makes no sense.
No, I totally agree with you. And again, we're broad brushing here for sake of broad brushing. We realize that there's outliers and everything. We understand that. I know that there's a really hot, good looking woman out there that love to ask men to go out with them. It's very, very small percentage, but it does exist. And to go along with your point, the woman will always, this is what defines a woman. The woman is saying yes or no to sex. It's up to her completely whether we have sex.
Absolutely.
Or not. I don't want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with me. Men hate getting rejected. We need to read the room and find the right times. We need to know if our woman is not in the mood, or perhaps she's had a long day, we need to fold the laundry, or we need to make her dinner, or we need to figure out if I rub her feet an extra 5 minutes, it may get me in the bedroom, because we know physically standing, we probably more likely are going to find the finish line a hell of a lot more than they are. Scientifically, we know that for a fact. I can sit there and think about Pete Rose.
Well, I like the way you phrase that.
I mean, for me, the fact that I had to think about Pete Rose's batting average for 13 minutes while I'm sitting here alone should tell you something.
Hilarious.
So, you know, it's important that women always know that they are the yes and the no. And do I like that? Absolutely not. Do I like the fact that they have that power? No. We know that without women, this world would fall apart. And we also know that thing that that's hanging there between their legs has controlled more things in this world than anything in life. It started life. It started with Eve and the apple. That's how it all started. I'm telling you, that little piece of skin down there runs the world. We have gone to war over it. Putin's going to war over it right now. You don't think he's doing that because of a power trip with his girlfriend? Every guy is the North Korean leader does it. We go to war over it. We have fights over it. We have gangs over it. We kill over it. We do everything because of that. And women,
it's at the core of everything in human history.
It is. And women, women control the world, and they should, because that ain't ours. It ain't our piece of skin. It ain't us for the joy. Sure. If they want to share it with us, we got to figure out how to get a piece of that and share that with them. And a good guy, a smart guy, a compassionate guy, a loving guy, and a husband knows how to do that. And he will get a woman on occasion.
Yes.
Who will actually want to be with you when she doesn't want to.
Well, and getting
that,
back,
that is like the greatest moment of my time, when a woman will sit there and she doesn't say, I don't really want to be with you, but I know how important this is to you, because that doesn't do anything for my rejectionary type of feelings in my heart. But if I find out later, wow, she really wasn't in the mood, or she had a really long day, yet she still loves me enough to be with me, that is the definition of love to me. And that's the kind of love that's just irrefutable, and it's unconditional. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, if we reset this, and you just brought it up, let's go back to the biblical version of how women were created. The garden and all of the splendor, and Adam were the first inventions. But then God thought about it and said, Adam needs, and this is biblical, Adam needs a companion. Adam needs a wife. Adam does not need to be alone. So he took a rib from Adam and created woman, Eve. And it was a very short time later that led Adam astray and got both of them in trouble and ejected from the garden for not following the rules. So like you said, everything throughout history, I love the story. People have heard and don't realize what it means. The face that launched 1,000 ships. It's from Greek mythology, of course, when Paris, the prince of Troy, went on a state diplomatic visit to Greece and ended up leaving with the wife of the king's brother.
Yes.
Helen of Troy. And took her back to a life with him, since she was married to this rude guy named Menelaus, who was again the king's brother. And of course, that was such an affront that all the Trojan people knew that the Greeks are going to come for Helen, and they came in 1,000 ships that attacked. And you know, so I mean, it goes back, and that's mythology. That's not necessarily history. There's some people that will debate that subject, but your point is exactly right. Just about every conflict, every everything in human history is determined by that relentless pursuit of men trying to acquire and have opportunities to be with beautiful women. Yep. That's been, or interesting women, or compelling women.
You need to write that down and put that on Instagram today. That is so, and I love the fact that you put beautiful women in there, because men will do anything to be around
anything.
A beautiful woman. Yeah.
Anything. And powerful women. Cleopatra, Tony, now this is historic. Cleopatra was a unbelievable, powerful, beautiful, compelling woman, and just completely changed civilization in her lifetime. Watch a documentary or read some books about the life of Cleopatra. She was really something else. But I think it gets back to the core of the creation of Eve on this discussion. Now, I'm going to just say this, and people might not like it, and I'm sorry, but there are only two sexes. There's no way you can dispute that. It is an absolute fact. There's a male and a female. Amen. And if you need further proof, look at every species of being on this earth. And it's the same if you're a cricket, or you're a grasshopper, or you're a praying mantis, or a bluebird, or a spider. There's male and there's female. Now, we can go to a different level now, because that's an established fact. Yep. And anybody who disputes that is just wrong. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Now, if you want to talk about gender, theoretically, there would only be two genders. However, in this day and time, people that, quote, identify themselves as something other than they were, the equipment they were issued, I have, like you so eloquently put it a minute ago, I have no problem with that. I said on one of the need to knows, and you laughed. I said, I don't care if somebody identifies themselves as a cactus.
Yeah.
This is their life. They can do with it what they want. They can identify and be whatever they want to be. But at the end of the day, you're issued one piece of equipment or the other, and that determines if you're male or female. And it's the truth and the standard for every species that's ever inhabited this planet.
Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park, remember when they found the eggs, they were making only females.
Yes.
They were making only females because they didn't want the dinosaurs reproducting in the park. And of course they found an egg that was opening up, and the saying, when there's life, there's a way. Life will find a way to reproduce one way or another. And it's true. And I believe there is a frog, actually, that's a male and a female at the same time. It is a male to female, but it doesn't act as a male and a female at the same time. It can't go F itself.
Yeah, well,
although if it could, I'd love to be a frog.
Well, you know, there are species that eventually the male becomes obsolete because somehow after years of evolution, the females can do whatever they do and produce eggs without the male's intervention. But that takes, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, apparently. And you know, I think we're on our way as humans, because I feel like all the time men are, you know, kind of downgraded a little bit, our stock and our value. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the praying mantis. That's a hell of a gig, because once you hook up with a hot praying mantis female,
she eats
your ass. You're done. You become the fortification so she can endure childbirth.
How many guys would love to go out that way?
Well, that's right. You come and go at the same time. Hot,
but, and I know she's going to eat my ass when it's all said and done.
That was from an old Richard Pryor bit.
Oh, that is fantastic.
I was so lucky to see him in Las Vegas.
Oh my
God. He was talking about his daddy, who was with a 25-year-old when he was 70 and had the ultimate experience before he had a heart attack and passed away. And that's what Richard Pryor said. He came and went at the same time.
I love that. To dumb this down, we're talking about the Alabama Senate now going to the House and defining what makes a man, a woman, as far as they've got is men produce sperm and women produce ova or reproductive cells. That's as far as we've gotten. And that's as far as we need to get. We don't need to get any farther than that. And that's far enough for me. I'm good. I know what makes a man, a woman, much like Kip just said here in a few minutes. For the most part, none of us really care. We don't care if you're gay. We don't care if you are binary or
pure life,
vulture sex, or I don't even know what the words are.
Yeah, intersex.
Intersex.
That's a new one. I've been hearing people mention intersex, which I guess, I mean, that means you're both.
You do you, because you know what? I know within, I'll just say 5 to 10 years, you're going to figure it out. There is, and by the way, were you the one that told me that Bruce Jenner is now thinking about going back to being a man? Did someone someone emailed the show info at TonyCurryRadio.net? Someone infoed the show and told me, because I had sent them a picture. I may have been you. I think you were talking about Bruce Jenner on your Need to Know or one of our Kiefer and Curry shows. And someone had told me, because I said, did he ever go under the shears? Did he finally go the extra block? Did he go? Okay. I am, because to me, you can't be a female and have a penis. If you have a penis, no. You can't be a female. You can't. Even females will tell you that. There's not females with penises. It doesn't exist. So if you're going to go all the way and you're going to be a female, you have to get that taken off.
Yeah, but...
And I don't think he did. I think he got the boobs done. I think he got the Botox. I think he got the buggers. I think he got the shoes fit. And I think he got. And I think he bought a new wardrobe, but I don't think he got his pee-pee taken off. And unless you do that, you have not gone all the way. And someone told me that he's actually thinking about going back to being a man. And I'm thinking to myself, man, how brutal would that be to the LGBT community if Bruce Jenner, now they'll probably say, oh, Bruce Jenner was all just a show. No, it wasn't. It was not. I want to go back because we go for hours on this. I just want to say too, what defines a man, what defines a woman. And I'm not a woman, so I'm not going to speak a lot about what I think it takes to define a woman, because if I do, it's going to sound misogynistic. It's going to sound like women need to cook. I mean, I'm not going to say that kind of thing, okay?
No.
Although I do think there are some modelings. I think there are some jobs. You know, if you've ever been through a divorce, I know both of us have been through a divorce, and you go to a divorce court, you're going to get pounded by the testimony. Well, I did this. I did this. I did the homework. I did the bathing. I did this. I did this. I did this. I did the cooking. I did the cleaning. Da, 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 da. And the man sitting there going, well, I worked 60 hours a week and I brought home the cash. And she used that cash for 20 years and didn't work a day in her life. And I know being a mother is the hardest job out there, blah, 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 blah. I realize that. But that was my role. That was my job. And that's something that a man or woman need to sit down and discuss and say, listen, here's my role in this. And here's your role in this. Are you okay making dinner every night? And it could change. There's a lot of women. I think it breaks up a lot of marriages. They'll get 16, 17 years into a marriage. The kids are starting to fly the coop. And all of a sudden she decides she wants to go back to work. Okay. Well, great.
Oh yeah.
Good. Good. We'll have a 2-income family. You haven't worked in 20 years. We agree that you wouldn't work for 20 years. You wanted to be a stay at home mom. You did a fantastic job bringing up the kids. I was there at the camps. I did all the things. I provide the money. I couldn't be there for every Saturday for Billy's baseball game, but you were there and you bathed them every Tuesday and Thursday. And I couldn't do that. And you had your role and I had my role. It worked pretty well. But now all of a sudden you want to go work again and that's fine. But how does that affect me? Does that mean I'm doing my own laundry now? Does that mean my Vegas trips on Saturdays are over? I mean, I'm just asking. I just need to know, because a lot of times we don't get a say in that. And all of a sudden the tables have turned and all of a sudden our lives are changed because men don't want to change. We're not very adaptable. We want to change. I'll say this. Men are the protectors. And I know you believe this in your heart as much as I do. We're the protectors. We're the fortifiers. We're the validators. And we provide for our families. And that's what we do. That's what we should do. If you got a guy who's sitting downstairs for 12 hours a day playing some video game while you're out busting your ass at work providing for your family, get the hell away from that guy. He's not providing for you. He has no validation in his life. He's not looking for a job. Listen, if you're with a woman who's making $600,000 a year, she says you don't have to work, that's fine, but you better be doing the right things around the house, and you better be providing for that relationship. You better not be a sour ass and just be sitting on your, well, she don't want me to do anything, so I'm going to sit around. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of those guys out there. So you ain't going to be long for the world, my friend. Don't be sitting down in your basement for 6-7 hours a day playing, you know, MLB and thinking that she's not going to get rid of your ass when she comes home after a long day at work. Men are there to change the world. We're there to start the fires. We're there to cook the meals. We're there to tie the knots. We're there to do the driving. We're there to be providers and validators. And we do those things. And that's what guys need to do. And more than anything, we are the protectors. We protect our family. We protect our property. And we protect our woman and our family. And if you're not doing that, you ain't a man to me. Ain't a man to me. Period.
Yep. Well, I hear everything you're saying. My marriage, my wife was a stay-at-home mom, and You know, we collectively raised our sons, and it was our priority, and it was everything in our lives, and we settled into that pattern, and the results are speak for themselves. I've got two phenomenal sons that are great young men that have respect for everyone, are polite and accomplished, and I'll just go ahead and say it. They both are so skilled and so brilliant in what they do. So missions accomplished on that. But just like you said, Tony, it's amazing. When they got to be right at the end of high school, my wife went back to work and was surrounded by a bunch of man-hating bitches. I'm just going to say it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden her whole attitude changed. I guess I wasn't paying enough attention to her, and I wasn't, emphasizing her needs and whatever. It was a big mystery to me. And you mentioned divorce. I thought it was so ridiculous that I was being thrown under the bus there for no real transgression, just because she just decided she didn't want to be married anymore. Yep. So I actually boycotted all the proceedings. I got letters from lawyers. I got orders from courts. I didn't even open them. I threw them right in the trash can. I pretended it wasn't happening. Okay. I just let the process play out. And of course, they absolutely hammered me with, but like 75% of my income and all that kind of stuff. And within a couple of years, my wife, my ex-wife now, who happens to be one of my best friends in the world at the moment, she just had an epiphany and said, this was wrong. And she said, okay, I'm calling the state and I'm going to tell them that, you know, that he's not.
That's amazing, by the way. It'll never happen again, but that speaks volumes about what a great woman she was. It really is.
Absolutely. She got influenced by the wrong people. And, you know, again, and I've completely forgiven her.
That's awesome.
We tried again and, I forgave, but I couldn't forget. Mm-hmm. And I kind of blew it up the second time by just saying, you know, what are we doing here? We're just being polite, you know, let's move on. And she's married a great guy now. In fact, as we speak, Tony, she is in Antarctica on an adventure. Wow. With her new husband, who's a retired accountant, and again a great guy, and everything has worked out as it was supposed to. She had this bucket list thing. She wanted to set foot on every continent on Earth, and she's hit number 7 with her trip to Antarctica.
Wow,
here.
Wow, that's amazing.
So anyway, it's all good, but what you said really, really resonated. And that's, I think that's a common experience that a lot of us have.
The truth of the matter is, and again, guys hate the word communicate. We don't like rejection. We hate the word communicate. Y'all need to communicate more, because I would say that 98% of all marriages end because there's no communication there. It's death by 1,000 cuts. It's normally, it's not a one night deal. It's not because of its transgression or because he stole money from an account or anything like that, or some porn addiction or something. It's usually a death by 1,000 cuts. And it's usually over the course of 5, 10, 15 years. And we always think it'll get better, because that's just marriage. It's marriage. You know, we have comes and goes, and we pull and we tug and we do those kind of things. And we're not always listening. And I will take umbrage of that. And I will own that, because I do look back on my life and think to myself, wow, she gave me some pretty good red flags that I just ignored.
Yes.
I just plain ignored. I was like, well, you know, that's just the way it is. It's the way it's going to be. But if you communicate, it's really important. And I don't think people realize, I think, you know, a lot of people get married and next thing you know, she gets pregnant on their honeymoon. And next thing you know, you're 4 years into a marriage, you have 3 children and you're just going. You're just going. And you're just mm-hmm. living this life and you're not really communicating because you're so damn busy with ball and someone needs a diaper change and she's got sips and strokes and you're going to go play poker with the guy. And you're all kind of just living these lives and you're doing this. And all of a sudden, I'm just telling you, you need to communicate, because you're going to get 3, 4, 5 years in. And all of a sudden things change. We grow differently. We grow, we ebb and flow, where the two interstates go in the same direction. Just don't get off the interstate. You're going to get off the interstate. You need to grow and you need to communicate and say, listen, you know what? I've been doing this for a long period of time, and I know a lot of women, they're not good at either. I'm tired of doing laundry. I'm tired of making the meals every night. Okay, don't come to me with that. Just say, you know what, I've been doing this for a long period of time, and I've loved you, and I love doing this for us, our family, but there's some things I want to do in my life too. And I'm like, bring it on. Talk to me. There's not a man that will not understand that and go, okay, super.
Yeah.
And so when I'm talking about defining what makes a man and what defines making a woman, that it's your definition. If you're the guy who does all the floral arrangements in the house, it's your role. It's not my man, but it's your man. If that's what you do and you roll and your wife's good with it, then that's great. That's super. That's your role. So as long as you're communicating between a man and a woman, unfortunately, we're not talking about communicating anymore. We're just talking about defining somebody and saying you have a private place. I'd like to see what's going to happen here in the state of Alabama. You're so back-assward in so many things we do. But I'd love to know, okay, we're going to define what makes a man and a woman. So we have safe spaces for people who define themselves as a man or a woman.
Who wants
to go hang out with that?
I'm terrible.
A man. I don't want to go hang out with a bunch of dudes. I want to go hang out with the women who define themselves as women is what I want to do. And I'm thinking to myself, why do we even have to do this? This is our hard earned tax money going to Montgomery, paying for these types of studies. This is what we're doing. We're taking COVID money. We're building a $400 million prison and we're trying to define what makes a man a man. Or a woman and a woman. The money's not going where it should, and it's not going for what it should be going to.
Well, you can see the state of things when the latest nominee to the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown, was asked in the hearing with the Senate, can you define a woman? And she said, I'm not a geneticist. I cannot do that.
No one wants to answer that question.
This is a Supreme Court justice now who can't define the term woman.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, exactly. And you're seeing on this Alabama case and all the, you know, the legislatures that are considering this stuff, all the left and Marxist media are saying this is just an attempt to disqualify transgender people and deny them the rights they deserve. And like you said, Tony, this is the teeny tiny portion of the population.
And I'm sorry, let me just say this, because gays used to be like 3 or 4%. This is back in the 70s and 80s. Now, a lot of people say, no, it was a lot higher than that. We just didn't know because they didn't come out. All right, I'll push it to 5 or 6%. I still don't believe that this the last thing I saw, that 11% of Americans are gay. I don't believe it. I'll never believe it. I could get 100 people in this room right now, and I can guarantee you that 10 of them aren't going to be gay. And I get another 100, like another 100, another 100, another 100, another 100. I don't believe that.
I don't care if it's 20%. I don't care.
I don't care either. And I don't care that you want to be a female when you were male yesterday. I don't give a squat. Now, if you want to start saying that you get the same financial relief from a legal standpoint on your taxes, and that directly affects how things turn for me, is that pulling money out of my pot? Then maybe we can sit and talk. But for the most part, I don't think anybody cares. I always tell my gay friends, why in the hell do you want the right to get married? It's not what it's cracked up to be. You got it good. If you're gay, you got it really good. You don't have to get married. I got a married couple that were together for 23 years, and they finally got married, and they broke up 6 months later. They were together for 23 years and loved each other and were great, and they finally got married and were broken up in 6 months. Something changes. Be happy you don't have to get married and use that as a tool. Say, I love you. I'd love to get married to you, but we just can't. We just can't. We're getting along. It works out really, really well. But I, like you said, Kip, I could give a rat's ass. I don't care. You do you. Don't push your stuff on me. That's fine. And again, when we're talking about LGBTQ, we're talking about binary, we're talking about ultrasex, whatever it is. And I know I'm just probably butchering the wordage here. We're talking 2%, 1%, 0.5% of 370 million people in this country. And we're sitting here doing a show on it. I mean, kudos to the transgender world, to the binary, to the whatever it is. Kudos to them for getting us talking about it as much as we possibly can. I mean, all you got to do is put a transgender show on MTV, go watch RuPaul later on tonight, and you're good to go for a month. I mean, it's just amazing to me that how many people are into it. I mean, it really is. But like you said, though, you do you. Okay, it doesn't affect me. That's fine. You want to go stand on a street corner? You want to protest about something? That's great. But that's not my way of living. And don't expect me to get behind your right. Just because you believe in something and you believe it in all your heart doesn't mean that I have to get behind your beliefs. I don't. Yeah. I can love you. I can tolerate you. I can put up with you. You can be my neighbor, my best friend, but it doesn't mean I have to believe in everything you believe in. And it doesn't mean we can't get along either.
And let me stick this in here, that what you just said is exactly right, because now it's the definition of you and I's opinion, the fact that we don't care and you do what you want and this is your life and knock yourself out. But if we're not absolutely supportive, if we're not absolutely endorsing everything these people want to do, if we're not on their team of encouraging them and going to marches and demanding that they be treated like everybody else, then we're against them. We can't be non-combatants. We either have to be with them or against them.
Well, and I think
that's not the way it is, because we don't care.
And I think that's where a lot of sports teams have really screwed up. You know,
we're for sure
toleration, rainbow nights, all these things to celebrate. They have LGBTQ night in Atlanta Braves baseball. I'm like, why? Yeah. Why? And then you got some baseball players saying, well, I'm not coming out early. And all of a sudden he's a bigot. He's an anti-gay. He's like hates gay people. He hates. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. His religion beliefs determine that he doesn't believe your way or style of living, which by the way, is not biblical, is the way he wants to live his life. And I don't need to get behind that. I don't need to stand for that. I don't need to sing your songs. I don't need to do any of those things. I do tolerate. And I think a lot of people say, oh, you tolerate. If you're tolerant, you're putting up with it. Well, yeah, there's a lot of things I tolerate. There's a lot of things that I don't like in my life that I know it's life and it's coming at me. And I know you got your beliefs and I got my beliefs. I still love you and I don't have to tolerate your way of life. So yeah, toleration is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
So there you go. That's exactly right. And I know we're winding down here, but let me give you the ultimate example of the insanity right now that's going on.
I love it.
For all of our lifetime, Tony, and I emphatically agree with this, there is no worse thing than a man striking a woman. It's absolutely never appropriate. It is a terrible transgression that everybody should condemn. No matter what the circumstances, unless somebody was threatening my children with physical harm, I mean, that's about the only excuse I could possibly think of for striking somebody of the opposite sex. The attention that's been put on battered women and women in domestic violence situations, which once again, going back to their selection process, the women choose the loser that beats them up.
Yep.
And there's no accountability there. It's always, but that's a whole nother subject. But the point is, now USA Boxing has just issued rules for transgender individuals that will allow them to compete. So a man that's been altered and snipped and given enough estrogen or whatever is infused into that process can now get into a ring and fight and strike a woman in the face and beat her senseless, because there's no consideration for the fact that men's muscle mass and bone structure and just ability to inflict damage is more by far severe than a woman's ability to do that. So now after 50 years, 60 years of being told how awful it is for a man to strike a woman, now we have rules in a sanctioned boxing commission of that being okay.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And again, outside a woman threatening to kill me, and I have been with some women that are actually bigger than me. I'm 6'4". You men know how to get themselves out of those positions. I totally agree with you. There is never a time. I will say this, and we don't talk about rape. Rape is like one of the worst things.
Awful.
There's a reason why people who get convicted of rape in prisons get treated a lot differently than one who kill people.
Yes.
You kill somebody, you're probably going to be okay. You rape somebody and then you do something with a child, that's out the door. You're done. You're going to be dead within 2 weeks. If you molest a child, at least they've got their rules right in prison. But the whole idea of doing something to a person that does not want to do something with you just makes me so, it makes me so uncomfortable. I can't watch movies with rape scenes in them. I can't. Yes. I cannot watch movies with, I cannot, if I know there's a rape scene in the movie, I cannot watch it for that moment. You know, I'd almost hope it'd be like an Alfred Hitchcock thing where just show me the blood at the bottom of the bathtub. I don't need to see the stabbing. I don't need to, I know what's going on here, but it's so uncomfortable for me. And so I'm with you. And to go along with that, obviously to do something to a woman that obviously does not want to be beaten up, but yeah, it's just happened way too much. I do think we're getting better at it. It's funny because we're sitting there, bring more acknowledgement to it and bring it more to light. We need to communicate. We need to talk about it because telling a man that it's not right to hit a woman is not going to keep him from hitting a woman. And a woman who's in an abusive relationship, who's continually beat, that doesn't tell anybody about it, is going to get continually beaten.
And doesn't leave, continues to just let the pattern continue. Yep. You know, I have great sympathy for it happening once. My sympathy diminishes if it's allowed to happen over and over and over again.
Amen. Kiefer Curry Show. We do this thing on television every single week, ABC 3340. We're going to have a monster show again this Saturday morning from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. We go 30 minutes. We talk about whatever Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry want to talk about. We talk about sports. We talk about movies. We had Damon Johnson on last week from Brother Kane, of course, from Lynyrd Skynyrd. We get some more rock and rollers coming up. We're going to go. Who we got going on? I got phone calls out to Pat Benatar. We're going to get a lot of rock and rollers. You've got some great authors. We talked about the whole gambling thing this past weekend, which was really, really fascinating.
Another thing the legislature is considering.
Exactly. While they can define what a man and a woman is, they're going to try to figure out whether we should have a gambling bill. Just think about how stupid that is, how dumb that whole thing is. The fact
Lord
that there's two bills,
it's
really, and yet we live here and we own it, man. We love it. So continue to watch our show on ABC 3340 and listen to our show here on TKR. Don't forget, of course, Kip's other show called Need to Know right here on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.